Everyone, welcome to the call today. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is on the phone to announce funding for conservation projects in 50 states. Now, these projects are part of the Farm Bill Initiative, marking a new era of conservation efforts. In addition to the secretary, we also have Natural Resources Conservation Service Chief Jason Weller, who will also be available to take questions. If you want to ask questions of both gentlemen, please let us know by pressing star one on your touchtone pad. But first, we'll hear from Secretary Vilsack. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan, and I want to thank Chief Weller and his team at NRCS for an amazing job in getting us to today's historic announcement relating to the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. This is indeed a new era in conservation, and I think it marks a significant opportunity in this country to significantly increase investment in conservation and obtain the benefits of better soil health, water quality and quantity, and better habitat. As a result, this new era in conservation is built on the pilots that were started in the first term of the Obama administration and then incorporated in the Agricultural Act of 2014, the Farm Bill. The focus of the Regional Conservation Partnership Program is indeed on partnerships, on leveraging the resources that the federal government invests in conservation in a coordinated and comprehensive approach to large-scale landscapes in an effort to try to have a more efficient and more significant impact on conservation. This represents a significant investment in soil and water health and habitat well-being, and we have been very pleased with the amazing response that we received when we announced the opportunity for folks to apply for participation in this Regional Conservation Partnership Program. Over 600 pre-applications, over 200 full submissions. It was just an incredible outpouring of interest in this approach. Today, we announce the funding of $372.5 million to fund 115 projects that will impact positively conservation in all 50 states and Puerto Rico. We'll be funding 21 national projects, 24 projects in the critical conservation areas that were previously designated pursuant to the Farm Bill, and we will be funding 70 state projects. We fully expect the resources that are being announced today to be matched at least dollar for dollar. So what we're looking at is nearly $750 million of investment in conservation. Roughly 70% of the projects being funded impact water quality and quantity. We are looking at flood prevention, drought resilience, nutrient management, and other strategies focused on better soil health and better water quality. Approximately 24% of the resources and projects being funded are focused on habitat improvements for wildlife. This is not just about soil health and water health and conservation. It's also about jobs and the economic impact that conservation has in communities around the country. We are very pleased in the number of partners that we've been able to identify in the projects that are being funded today. On average, each project has approximately 11 partners per project. Some projects have as many as 46 partners. We're looking at opportunities as well to fund those programs that aren't funded under the Regional Conservation Partnership by using the balance of our EQIP and CSP money and easement money in a creative way, and also encouraging NRCS and the Farm Service Agency to work collaboratively and creatively in using future CRP decisions as well. We're excited about today. This is a big day for conservation. It's a big day for soil health and water quality and habitat and wildlife well-being. And so we are very proud of the work that's been done. And again, thanks to Chief Weller and his team at NRCS for their extraordinary work in getting us to today. Susan, if Jason has anything he'd like to add, then perhaps we could take questions.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. I would just like to add to your points just a couple of key, from my perspective, attributes of this new approach. And bottom line, what I'm really excited about, and I know what it energizes and excites my colleagues within NRCS, is this is an example of government at its best, in that it's empowering local communities, local partnerships, but importantly, private landowners, farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners to take control, to identify what their needs are in their communities and their operations in their counties, and then bring and invite to the table both traditional partners like state agencies, like conservation districts, conservation organizations, sportsmen groups, but then invites to the conversation and to the table to design and deliver solutions other organizations that to date really have not had, I think, a space or found a way, a venue for them to participate. These include agricultural commodity organizations and associations, farm groups, dairy cooperatives, but then also other units of governments like water utilities, other state and federal agencies who want to be part of the solution, and then also from the private sector, ag retailers, certified crop advisors, different retail associations, farm elevators, you name it. And across the country, they've come together in these locally led approaches to designing conservation solutions. They've developed excellent projects, and then we have the benefit of helping to support that and get these projects designed and on the ground. And so through the $372 million, we're going to be funding, as you said, 115 projects in every state in the nation. And these are some of them are very large, very significant large-scale projects, but then there are also some projects that are going to be working at a smaller scale in the forests and in the farm communities. And what we're really excited about then is seeing how this partner locally led approach to conservation design and solutions is going to help innovate and bring new people to the table to help leverage our resources and, in the end of the day, get more done on the ground and accelerate and catalyze action in local communities. So I agree with you, Mr. Secretary, this absolutely is a historic day, and I couldn't have been more excited about the response from the partnerships and from the agricultural and conservation communities to come to the table, to bring the creative ideas and to bring resources to really then demonstrate the value of investments in conservation, what it means for sustaining production, but also the sustaining the health of our environment.
Chief and Mr. Secretary, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, reporters, to ask a question of our two panel members, press star 1 on your touch-tone pad to let us know that you're interested in doing so. If you could delve a little more, either one of you can answer this, into exactly what makes RCPP a new era of conservation. I know you touched on the partnership and how new people can be brought into these kinds of ventures, but what makes it so unique and historic?
Well, I'll take a stab at it, and then certainly Jason can add his comments. It does indeed start with the partnerships and basically the invitation that this program provides for people on the ground in the local and regional areas to be very directly engaged in identifying what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. In the past, conservation activities have been pretty much a one-off experience where our NRCS staff works with individual landowners and producers to craft plans and designs that relate to an individual farm. What we learned in the first term of the Obama administration is we did an assessment of conservation that if we could coordinate conservation activities, if we could identify multiple activities that could take place at the same time, and if we could have a coordinated approach in a larger geographic location, a larger watershed, we could have a significantly greater impact in terms of soil health, water quality, and habitat. And so for that reason, we urged Congress to consider including in the Farm Bill this authority to set aside a small percentage of our EQIP funding, a small percentage of our CSP funding in an effort to try to prove the point that this kind of partnership and leveraging concept works. I think, the second piece of this is, I think Jason did a very nice job of explaining the traditional and now new partners that are coming to the table. And I would, as he was identifying some of those new partners, I would also indicate that we have good partnerships with universities as well, land-grant universities. So it's a very large set of potential partners, and I think that's reflected in the fact that we had as many pre-applications and as many full submissions as we did. And I think it's also going to provide an opportunity with these plans, even those that are not funded. It's going to give our state conservationists and their teams the opportunity to be creative about EQIP, the balance of EQIP resources that are available, the balance of CSP resources. And this program has spurred conversations now between NRCS and the Farm Service Agency in terms of how best to use the limited acres that we have access to and funding for CRP. So I think it's really a very significant day, and I think at the end of the day we're going to see a much more efficient operation, a much more effective operation, and one that actually results in significant investment greater investment than just simply what the federal government has done in the past with private landowners.
And the only thing I would add to that, sir, is that it also turns inside out the traditional federal approach where we come in with our tools and our assessments and we say, here's where we think we need to work, here we think we need to do, and then we use a program, an acronym, to go and try and tackle that one solution. What this then turns that completely inside out and tells the partners, you have all the program tools available. Tell us where you want to work. Tell us what your priorities are, and then we're going to here to be able to support you and get those solutions delivered. So it then allows partners to be creative and use all the tools in the tool chest, whether it's easements, whether it's nutrient management planning, whether it's putting in buffers, whether it's different structural practices. They then get to design the solutions on a farm by or ranch by ranch approach, but aggregate that, target that action so that really then you can have a real result at a bigger scale and also accelerate that action. And what traditionally would have taken many years, we can get done now much more quickly.
With that, reporters, once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please let us know by pressing *1 on your touchtone pad. We do have a caller on the line. Let's go to Ellen Ferguson with Congressional Quarterly. Ellen.
Hi. We're coming up on the 2016 appropriations process. And what appropriators have tended to do is, although, it was to chip away at mandatory funding, usually going into the conservation programs. Is the Secretary confident that you're going to be able to protect this sort of coordinated approach against, those kind of chimps and chipping away at mandatory funding for conservation programs that are more than likely going to continue in the 2016 process?
Ellen, I don't think there's any question that this effort's going to be adequately funded. We obviously were impacted and affected by sequester. Otherwise, we would have slightly more to announce than we announced today. But still, at $372.5 million, this represents a fairly significant opportunity. And it does indeed only amount to 7% of total EQIP and CSP dollars. So I don't think there's any fear that whatever happens in the budget process is going to compromise our ability. But what it does do, and what the budget process does do, is it emphasizes the need for us to continue to look for creative ways to encourage partners to come to the table with resources that they want to commit to conservation and then use those combined resources in the most effective and efficient way possible. And I think Jason's done a good job of explaining why that's going to happen with this approach.
All right, our next caller on the line is Beverly Behrens with Farm World Today. Beverly.
Hi. I'm wondering where we can find a list of the projects that have been funded and somewhat of a description of those projects.
The website, USDA.gov, has the press release and information on the projects as well as, a map that shows the location of the projects. So USDA.gov should allow you to get information on all of the projects. And there is also a brief description of each project on the website.
Thank you.
Once again, to ask a question, please let us know by pressing *1 on your touchtone pad. Let's go to Politico's Jenny Hopkinson. Jenny.
Yeah, thanks for having the call this morning. My question really is, water quality issues are kind of getting a lot of attention these days, especially kind of following this potential lawsuit in Des Moines against drainage districts for agricultural runoff. I mean, is there any sense of, clearly this issue is really coming to a head if a utility is potentially suing over runoff. And I know a lot of these projects will go toward water quality issues, but how do you speed that up? I mean, how do you keep the pace of trying to improve water quality up with kind of the demands of the drinking water industry? I mean, is there any concern about the lag between the two?
Jenny, I think you have to understand that conservation, water quality are not issues that are amenable to short-term fixes. It's not something that you're going to see in 1 or 2 days or 1 or 2 years, dramatic effect and impact. It takes a while. The condition of the soil, the condition of water is a very complex system. What I can tell you is that we have a record number of producers and landowners enrolled in conservation today. roughly 600,000. We have 400 million acres enrolled in one form or another of conservation activities and programs. This announcement we're making today is going to accelerate that amount and that number and the number of acres that are impacted. And over a period of time, it's going to have a positive impact. Now, how am I confident of that? It's because in the first term, we did assessments of conservation activities. We did assessments in the Chesapeake Bay Area. We did assessments in the Upper Mississippi River Basin. And what we know from those assessments is that, indeed, this is the conservation practices that have taken place in the past are reducing soil erosion. They are reducing the level of nitrogen and phosphorus in the water. And we're confident that this approach is going to accelerate that. So we know it works. And we know it is working, and it will take some time. I think it's also important to note that in addition to conservation, there's a lot of interesting research that's taking place in land-grant universities about additional strategies for dealing with nitrogen and phosphorus, which could potentially provide us a more accelerated effort. And then finally, I would say that the farm community, with the advent of global positioning systems and so forth, is now in a position, and an aggregation of data that's taking place around the countryside, is now in a position to be much more precise with the application of future applications of fertilizer and chemicals and pesticides based on a sort of a per-acre analysis that can be done now that wasn't available 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. So I think there's a lot of progress being made here. There's a lot of positive momentum and energy in this space, and the fact that there's a dispute, local dispute in one state, in one area, doesn't suggest that what we're doing isn't working. In fact, it is working, and over time, I think you'll see even more progress.
Once again, reporters, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phones to let us know. Let's go to William Hicks with Medill News Services. William.
Hi. Earlier in the speech, you mentioned that the money will be matched dollar for dollar. Where's that money coming from?
Well, let me say at least dollar for dollar, and it's coming from the partners. To the extent that there are, on average, 11 partners per project, these folks are, as part of the application process, identified how and under what circumstances they would provide assistance and support. It could come in the form of the Pheasants Forever adding additional biologists to provide help and assistance. It could be the Nature Conservancy using their resources to supplement our easement purchases. It could be a state or local government adding additional state or local revenue. That is one of the basis upon which the decisions were made to fund these 115 projects is the level of commitment coming from the local partners. So it's a wide variety of resources. It could be nonprofit foundations. It could be state and local government. It could be agribusinesses, as Jason indicated. All of these folks are bringing something to the table in addition to helping to identify the problem that needs to be solved and the way in which it makes sense for the local folks to solve it.
Secretary Vilsack and Chief Weller, we have no more callers on the line. Any closing remarks?
Well, again, I just simply want to thank Chief Weller and his team for giving us this opportunity today to make this historic announcement. And I want to underscore something that Jason said at the outset, which is that this is indeed a good example, and conservation generally is a good example of how government works. I so often hear how government's broken, how things aren't working in Washington, D.C., when in fact here we are today announcing extraordinary historic efforts in conservation that are a result of government at every level working collaboratively and effectively. I'm excited about this. I know Jason and his team across the country is excited about this, and I'm sure all of the partners that we've been able to identify who are anxious to get to work see this as an historic day.
And the final thing I would add is this is just the first step. This is the first round. We'll have future opportunities in the coming years through this partnership, but then also, as the Secretary indicated, through our broader array of programs as well. I already know that discussions are underway as a result of this program, the Regional Conservation Partnership Program, that there are additional cities and utilities around the country are perked up, they're interested, and they want to see how they can get engaged. and whether it's through this program or through the other assistance that USDA can provide through its suite of conservation programs, it's already creating new space for conversations, bringing new people to the table, and I'm really excited to see what today's announcement, what it helps spark across the country. And in several years from now, I think we're going to be very proud of what today has established and the track record we've laid over the last several years, where we go from here.
Secretary Vilsack, Chief Weller, thank you both for being on the call and everyone else who was on the call. And that concludes this press conference for today.